I want to begin this weekend by congratulating Father Dan on his new assignment as parochial vicar at St. Thomas More Parish in Tulsa, our neighboring parish to the north. He's been such a blessing not only to me and to our parish family, but most especially to All Saints School. And we will all, I know, miss him very much. At the same time, I know he's learned a lot from us, particularly what it means to love God's people and to serve them well. You have been a blessing to him as well. And so for the weekend of May 23rd and 24th, we will celebrate him and send him along after all the weekend masses that weekend. At the same time, I want to congratulate you and us as a parish family. With the assignment of Father Jeffrey Moore, a priest of the Anglican Ordinariate here, Bishop Konderla is entrusting us really with a sacred duty to welcome and to embrace what Pope Benedict XVI called a precious gift. He called it a treasure to be shared. When he established the Ordinariate back in 2009, Pope Benedict referred to this effort first as a prophetic gesture intended to contribute positively to the development of relations between the Anglicans and Roman Catholics. Secondly, as a response to holy desire of many Anglicans seeking full communion with the Church. And thirdly, as a tool for unity, arguing that unity is not achieved by finding just the lowest common denominator, but rather through a diversity of expression within a common faith. Father Moore has been a Roman Catholic since 2006, 20 years, and a Roman Catholic priest since 2010, 16 years. No doubt he has fully embraced our beautiful faith and our true worship of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Along with his wife Ellie, their four children and now one grandchild, Father Moore is very well equipped to serve you and your families, bringing to bear, no doubt, in his homilies and in his teachings, how marriage and family can greatly contribute to the life of ordained ministry. Yes, even in the Catholic Church. Now, we all know change is hard, but this change, my brothers and sisters, brings with it really an opportunity for all of us to grow in understanding and in an acceptance of how the Holy Spirit continues to guide and to grow God's Holy Church. From the earliest days of the Church, there have been both married and celibate clergy. Our first Pope, St. Peter, was a married man. Even today in the Eastern Catholic Churches, married priests are part of normal life. And so, while this may be new to us, it is not new to the Church. And so, together, we continue to open our minds and our hearts, and we will continue to be the parish where faith is invigorated, where community is built, and where all of us are sent to make disciples of others. Amen. Period. Now on to the homily. My favorite account of the resurrection, the story of the road to Emmaus. Very early in my life, I have always known that I had two great uncles and two great aunts who were Benedictines, Benedictine monks and Benedictine sisters. And while that was no doubt inspiring for my own vocation, it was the mystery of that Benedictine way of life that intrigued me most. What was it about St. Benedict, who lived, 1,500 years ago, and how he lived and how he taught that made it for me so attractive? Fast forward nearly two decades, when I was 19 and a freshman in college, I find myself on the grounds of a Benedictine monastery that ran a college seminary. I was there because of a called-by-name program that had been carried out in my home parish of St. Pius X, but more about that later. What I learned in my just 48 hours on that Benedictine campus helped me understand one of the most important teachings of the rule of St. Benedict. Let all guests who arrive be received as Christ. Receiving others as Christ is something that I always saw echoed in the story of the road to Emmaus. Those two wayward disciples walking away from Jerusalem, their hopes dashed, their spirits decimated. And yet, what do? They invite this stranger into their home and they welcome him. They open their home and their hearts. And what does he do? He sets them on fire. Now remember, these disciples started out pretty disappointed. Some of the saddest words in Scripture, "We were hoping." We were hoping that this would be different. Their hope had a past tense. And often I think that's where we find ourselves sometimes. We have faith, yes, but it's sometimes a faith that's been bruised by unmet expectations about God and how he hears me, about life and how it's tough sometimes, and about how things should have gone instead of how they really turned out. But into our bruised faith, Christ appears. And first, notice he didn't stop these disciples with a miracle or a grand gesture, grand reveal. What does he do first? He listens. He lets them tell their story, all of it, even the mistaken parts. And then he reinterprets their story through Scripture. You see, he doesn't replace their story. He redeems it. He honors it, really, what they've been through. And he gives value to how they're suffering. They had seen their friend on the cross, and it looked like failure. But we know the rest of the story. What looked like failure becomes the very instrument of victory. What seemed like the end is actually a beginning. And they have a very important role to play in that new beginning. And so do we. The revelation that came about in the breaking of the bread, an event that we would unmistakably recognize as the Eucharistic moment, is not just an idea, it's an encounter. It's a sacrament, a presence, an embodiment. And their hearts were on fire because he fed them with himself. And isn't that what he's doing for us this morning? Listening to us in our prayer, feeding us and setting our hearts on fire. Yes, all of these, but then also sending us forth to do the same. I think the Emmaus message for our day is that we must not be afraid of the road where hope seems lost. If we stay in the conversation, if we let Christ reinterpret our story, and most of all, if we come to the table, our eyes will be open. Our hearts will be on fire again. And like our Emmaus friends, we won't be able to just linger where we are. We'll be running out to tell others of the most excellent news that Christ is here for all people. Now, part of doing that, telling others about Christ, is encouraging young men in our parish community to consider serving the church as priests. When I was that young freshman in college, my associate pastor at the time, Father Joe Townsend, conducted the Called by Name program, wherein he asked parishioners in the pew to write down the names of young men they see around the parish who are faithful, who are committed, and who are active Catholics, young men who they think might make good priests or leaders in the church. And as it turned out, several people had written my name down, and the rest, as they say, is history. Next weekend, all the parishes in the Diocese of Tulsa will have this opportunity. There'll be some pieces of paper in our pews throughout the diocese to single out men in our communities who the Lord may be calling to the priesthood. And so this week, between now and then, I ask you to pray for the young men of our parish. Ask the Lord to reveal to you the names that you will call out by name. Pray, too, for the young men that right now are visiting Conception Seminary with Father Dan and Father Healy and Father Zui, our vocation director. These are young men who are already maybe entertaining the thought that God may be calling them to serve you, the good people of the Diocese of Tulsa. Finally, I pray that the Lord this week will set your hearts on fire for love of him and his church, and that many young men will say yes to his call to serve. Amen.